How does a bartender who started making pizza 4 years ago go off to become a pizza champion?
I don't think I'm a master of anything, and I think that helps me. I think the fact that I always think I'm a student and I always have more to learn, I always want to learn.
That was Niles Peacock of Edmonds, Washington. And yes, that is his real name, not a stage name like I thought it was. And this is not just a one-off occasion. He won Best in His Region, Non-Traditional Bagel. And then in 2023, he goes off to win the Galbani Professionale US Pizza Cup. And he shares with us his amazing journey into pizza, including the various challenges he had to face in order to get here.
I barely graduated high school. I struggled with dyslexia and attention deficit disorder. It was very, very hard for me. I thought I was very unintelligent when I was a kid. I just didn't know that I learned differently. I didn't learn how to read until I was 10 years old.
Disadvantages aside, Niles has found a way to excel in pizza, and he shares a number of his great lessons, especially when it comes to competing.
The value I get out of competing and being around those people isn't related to or dependent on me winning an award or anything like that.
This is an amazing episode, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember to always ask, what's good dough?
This podcast is brought to you by Uni Pizza Ovens. Uni is the number one pizza oven in the world and is my favorite pizza oven. They've totally revolutionized the game by giving the opportunity for home pizza makers and business owners to make great pizza anywhere. Their portable ovens can get up to 950 degrees and can make virtually any style of pizza. Check out the link in the show notes to learn more about Uni, and thank you for supporting my show sponsors.
I was the bar manager at a place here called 190 Sunset, which is no longer here. And I opened it up. I was the bar manager there when they opened. And then I went from...
When was this?
In 2016. And in 2017, I was featured on Evening Magazine after being voted Best Bartender in Seattle, which was like a really big deal at the time. Then in 2019, I went to open up a craft cocktail bar. And so I was opening up... I was planning on opening up in December of 2019. October... First week of October, I was featured at James Beard Raising the Bar at Taste America, which was a huge deal, and especially the fact that I hadn't opened up yet, right? I was just kind of unknown as an owner. And right after James Beard, I was told by the architect that there was no zoning permits for a tavern license. And so the only way I could open up a craft cocktail bar was to open up a full service restaurant. So at the time I had no money to build out a kitchen. I had no space. My kitchen was smaller than my bathrooms. And I went to buy used equipment from Auntie Auntie's pretzel shop that was getting evicted from the mall here for the hockey expansion, for the Kraken to go into, for their practice arena, I guess. And while I was buying this used equipment, and the wife said to me, she said, "You should do pizzas. You should have a pizza restaurant," because they knew my situation. And I thought about it, and I was like, maybe I should. And she said, "You should buy her a pizza oven." And I'm looking at an electric countertop Baker's Pride oven with a pretzel on it. And I was like, come on, a pizza oven? And she's like, seriously, you can make pizzas in this. And so not having the funds to build out a kitchen, not knowing what I was going to do, I figured, well, I got to do something. I mean, do pizza. How hard could it be? And so I bought this electric countertop Baker's Pride oven. I was making dough in a bus tub with my hands every night because I had no dough mixer. And I was using Ken Forkish's book, Elements of Pizza.
My first pizza book as well.
Oh, really? Yeah. So I was doing this 24, 48-hour dough, and I was making the best pizza that I'd ever had, right? I mean, I was making pizza until like 2 in the morning every night because I had no mixer, right? But I was making great pizza. And then the pandemic hit, like within 3 months of me, you know, opening. And because I wasn't a cocktail bar, I was a restaurant, I was allowed to stay in business because I would have been shut down. So then I survived the pandemic. I got made an offer to get my lease taken over by my neighbor, which the neighborhood got pretty crime escalated during the pandemic. So then I moved right back up here. I moved the restaurant to this place right here. And at that point in time, I went from having that countertop little oven to, I'm like, now I need to have like a legit oven. So I had got a hand-built Marsal MB60 from shipped out from Vermont, and like now I'm doing pizza seriously. So I decided I wanted to become a craft pizza chef. I'm a level 2 certified sommelier, a spirit specialist. That cocktails have been my thing for decades. And I now needed to have that skill set with pizza. So I told my flower rep that I needed world-class consulting and I needed someone to train me as a craft pizza chef. And she said, well, you should talk to Will Grant. And I said, I don't know who that is. And she said, he's one of the top pizza chefs in the world. He's a master pizzaiolo. And I was like, I mean, that sounds good. I don't exactly know what that means. And she said, he's a world champion pizza chef. And I was like, why? Well, I think I know what that means. Okay. So.
And by the way, he's across the water from you.
Yeah. And she said, he's in Kingston. And I was like, okay, cool. I thought we were talking about New York. I was like, Kingston, New York? And she's like, no, right here. And I was like, wow. I went over there. I called him up and I said, I need world-class consulting. I think you can help me. And he said, I can help you. And so I went over there to his restaurant and I started telling him, like, you know, what recipe I was using. He's like, I don't care about that. He's like, just describe to me what you want to create.
Yeah.
Because this is your recipe. So you describe what you want to create and I'll write with you a base recipe that's what you're saying you want to create. And then you can make changes to that. So we got done working on my recipe. And I happened to look down at his cocktail menu, and I said, hey man, I was like, you are one of the top pizza chefs, right? And he's like, yeah. I said, in the world. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, your cocktail menu could needs a little help, you know? And so he's like, don't get me started with that. And I was like, no, man, it's cool. Like, so we just became friends right away. And I ended up helping him with his cocktail program and training his bar staff and writing his cocktail menu. And he ended up coming here and training my staff here. And it was just not February of this year, but February of last year, a month before going to Vegas for the Pizza Expo. I'd never been to the Pizza Expo before. And we went out for brunch for Will's birthday. We got dim sum with him and some friends. And I happened to sit at the table. So I can't wait until I'm like as knowledgeable and as good at making pizzas as I am with craft cocktails and spirits and all that. And he said, you need to start competing. And I was like, I think that's the opposite of what I just said. I was like, I don't know about that, man. I haven't been doing this for enough years. I haven't put in my 10,000 hours. I haven't mastered the craft. You know, I have so much to learn. And he said, no, but he said, you're an expert at making the pizza that you make. And he said, the pizza that you make, you can compete against the top pizza chefs in the world. And it was very hard for me to, like, think about that being reality because I was like, I have no point of reference, really, you know? Like, I mean, and I said, okay, well, fine. I'll see where I can compete then. And then I looked on the website, and they had slots open for non-traditional. And so I called Will up the next morning, like 8 in the morning. I said, dude, I'm kind of nervous right now. And he said, are you registering for a pizza competition? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, do it. So I registered to compete. Now, mind you, I'd only been doing sourdough. He gave me his sourdough for my birthday. And I'd only been doing sourdough for 10 weeks at this time. So I've been doing sourdough for 10 weeks. I just registered to compete in Vegas. And when I went to compete, I'd practiced doing my stuff here before going there. I go down there and I felt so self-conscious and so just like, here I am, never been here before, and there's bleachers with hundreds of people on the right. On the left is the preparation stations. All the chefs have like all their gear. They look so professional, like they're on cooking shows. Then there's an officiator. There's a officiating chef, an MC. You know, I mean, the whole thing, right? And here's me dragging an igloo cooler with no wheels on it. It's held together with black duct tape.
Oh gosh.
And I'm just like, I need to get nicer gear. I don't feel that. I mean, I wasn't wearing a chef coat. I was wearing like sweatpants and a t-shirt, you know, and these guys look like they're on cooking shows. I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, I felt very self-conscious, but I cooked, turned in my pizza and just, you know, went and hung out with pizza people that night. And then the following morning I went back. This was March of last year at the Pizza Expo. I went back in the following morning to watch a pan pizza competition because I'd never made a pan pizza, was interested in that. And when I went in there before the competition started, I see Mike LaMarca, who I had just met at that point, and he shakes my hand and he's like, seriously, Niles Peacock, good job, man, congratulations. I'm shaking his hand and I'm just thinking, I'm surprised this guy remembered my name. I don't think I only met him like once. I'm like, you know, so many people are, but clearly he's confused me with somebody that won something. And so I didn't say anything. I just said, I'm so glad to be here. I'll be back next year. And I was so sure that he confused me with somebody else. I just went and sat down and watched the competition. So while I'm watching the pan pizza competition, I hear Will yelling across the bleachers, like, Niles, get over here. You got to see this. I walk over there. I'd walk by all the scores from the day before from my competition. And he's like, I knew you could do it, man. He's like, I knew you could do it. I'm so proud of you. And I look up and I said, wait, you better take that down, dude. They're not going to think I take this seriously. But I thought he was doing a joke, you know, and put my name up there. And he said, I didn't put that up there. And I was like, is that a big deal? And he's like, yeah, dude, these are the top pizza chefs, man. He's like, you come in with your duct tape cooler, dragging your cooler in. Like, he's like, this is a really big deal. He's like, really, really big deal. He's like, good job, man. So I couldn't believe it, man. So I won best in the region, right, and Northwest, which is like, I mean, it was just, I couldn't believe it. It was just over the top, you know. And so he's the one that's just continued to push me to push me to compete, you know. And then he pushed me to compete. Like, he knows I'm going to do brunch here. I'm going to do sourdough bagels. He pushed me to compete with bagels, and then I beat Mike Davis for best non-traditional bagel in America in October. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And this guy does 18,000 bagels a week, right? And here's me. I'm like, sourdough, let's do this, you know? So.
Do you think it's the mastery of bartending that you know, took that approach to pizza? Is it that romantic?
Well, I would say this, that I don't think I'm a master of anything, and I think that helps me. I think the fact that I always think I'm a student and I always have more to learn, I always want to learn. I spend more time thinking about things that I want to know than things that I do know.
This podcast is brought to you by my favorite pizza cheese for Detroit-style pizza, and I'm talking about Baccio cheese. It's perfect for that aesthetically pleasing high crown Frico edge. Brett of Izzy's Pizza Bus is also a Baccio user. He says he loves it for its quality, price, and the fact that they have a rewards program. Gold Club Rewards members can receive cash back for every pound of cheese purchased. Get that cheese, Pizza Pal. Learn more at BaccioCheese.com.
With the pizzas, I got into doing that just to survive, to have a cocktail bar. Then I decided I wanted to become a craft pizza shop, and then Will told me, you know, last year, he's like, you should start competing. And so I quickly, you know, I did that, and then won best in the region, and then I competed at the Artisan Bakery Expo, won, you know, best non-traditional bagel, which is a huge deal for me. And then last month I beat Daniel Ciccone in Orlando. And I got to tell you, when making it through the semifinals, it was just like, I couldn't believe it. The pizzas, the people that were cooking there, their pizzas were so beautiful and so just like, I mean, they're amazing. I couldn't pick anything. I couldn't even critique anybody's in a negative way. It was just a whole bunch of awesomeness, right? And I was just glad to be among that group. So when they announced the winners of the semifinals, I couldn't believe it. And I remember sitting there thinking, like, I feel like this is such an achievement that I'm even considered competition for this guy. Like, that is such an achievement for me that I'm even like considered this guy's competition, right? And then I won, right? And that was just like, I remember sitting there and they announced, you know, the second place person first, and so they announced Daniel's name, and I'm thinking, wait, did that really just happen? And the guy next to me, the chef next to me, elbows me, and I look at him, and he said, dude, you're going to Italy. And I was like, dude, I am going to Italy. He's like, dude, you're going to Italy. Congratulations. I'm like, what?
My goodness, when are you going?
April. Yeah, so it'll be after the Pizza Expo. And you know, and so two things that made me feel like it was a real achievement was like when I realized that I was competing against Daniel Ciccone, when I realized that, not when I won, but when I was like, I feel like this is what I want to be at this level, right? And when Will asked me, remember when I told him I wanted to use sourdough before I started doing it, and he said, how good do you want to get at making pizzas? And I said, well, the pizza chefs are the best in the world. It's like, I want to be in that group, and I want to be seen as a peer, you know, and a competitor, you know, when I go to compete, but I want to be in that group.
Why is that so important to you?
That's important to me because to be around and among that group for me means that I have the aside from the community and the camaraderie of that, I cannot think of any higher education I can get than actively doing cooking against and with the people that are at the top of their game, right? Because I consider it, I'm a student. Every time I go to compete, I'm learning. I'm like learning things that I like that I do or that I want to change. And I'm seeing things that other people do, and I get inspiration and I get feedback, and the feedback that I get, I want to get it from people that are kind of at the top of their craft, right? So for me, I feel like I get the most enrichment and the most fulfillment and the most value out of being around those people.
Yeah, to be recognized at that level is one thing, but to be their peers and share ideas and be in that circle, I mean, it unlocks a potential for growth that no other person can get.
And the thing is, like, I mean, when it comes to winning, it's like winning is like in that moment, on that day, at that time, that pizza was experienced by these people in that way. So I could go and come in dead last, and I would, you know, look at whatever feedback I got from that, but I just say it differently. I don't rate whether or not I got the value I get out of competing and being around those people isn't related to or dependent on me winning an award or anything like that.
Did you say you competed for bartending?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, so.
What did you take from that to bring to your competition in pizza?
I'd say preparation, presentation, the walking through every part of what I'm gonna do, because when you change one thing, you change everything. So, and when you're bartending, the one very, very big difference between bartending and cooking is science, and it's unforgiving, meaning that if you cook something that hasn't been proofed long enough, there's nothing you can do to change that, right? So, but it also, because it's exacting, means that like if I can duplicate a scenario and a set of circumstances, then it's reasonable that I can achieve the same or similar result. And so I like that part about it. But in cocktails, you can make adjustments on the fly to them, you know? And it's not that way with cooking.
Yeah. 1 second too long in the oven, you're done.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no going back from that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's absolutely, and I fortunately, I thrive in high pressure, intense competitions, whether blind or open. Like, I just absolutely really enjoy that for some reason, which is great. It's like, I'm very comfortable doing that. And even when things go wrong, like, you know, one of the I think the most amazing part of the competition last month was the fact that you had 25 minutes to produce a pizza. And they're like, you can make two pizzas if you want, you know, but you got 25 minutes to do it. So I remember going out there when I did the first competition, when I did the semifinals, I did not like, I thought my bake should have been more perfect on the bottom. And so I was like, oh, I want to just do that differently, put it in a different part of the oven. I cooked it, and I just wanted to improve on it, and so I went and took a dough ball, I went and bought another oven, and I went and I went to one of the, you know, oven stations where they had one of the sponsors there, you know, not where we were cooking for the competition. And I said, hey, I want to practice on this oven, you mind if I cook a pizza on it? And so they're like, sure. So I went and did it a little differently, and I really liked the results, and I was like, cool. And so, then when I found out that I was going to the finals, I was like, oh good, I've already practiced the thing that I wanted to do differently. Well, I don't cook on a dome oven. This is kind of funny. So I don't cook on a dome oven. I cook on a deck oven. And I knew that there was going to be only dome ovens there. And Brian Hernandez called me and he said, just so you know, there's only dome ovens. So if you don't want to compete, that's okay. You know, just like, but, you know, and I was like, nope. I was like, I want to push my ability and my craft. And I was like, I want to do things that make me uncomfortable and get good at them. And so, you know, I really want to do this. So I took my little Costco wagon, took a dough box with some dough balls in it, got on the ferry, went over to Will's place. I'd called Will and I said, I want to practice on your dome oven. So I went over there the week before and I burned a couple pizzas, right? And then I had his pizzaiola, Mia, show me how to use that oven. And then, and that was what I did. And so then I felt like I was comfortable doing that. So then when I had gone to Orlando, I had already used the oven and got familiar with it, right? So, I talked to Will and to Joe Carlucci about like using that oven. And so I had some familiarity with it. But when I went to do the finals, this is the funny thing, I went to the final, and there's a wood pizza peel next to the table. So, have a great night. Thank you. It's a wood pizza peel, and I use a GI metal one. And so took the wood pizza peel, put lots of flour on it, you know, so I could slide off, made my pizza on it. I went to put it in the oven, and when I went to shove it in the oven, it stuck to the peel. So it moved a little bit, and then the ingredients just like slid to one side like that, and then some of them rolled off and burst into flames in the oven. I was like, oh my, I can't believe this.
That's like, not a good sign. But.
And I'm like, oh, and there was two ovens, right? And I'm like, I don't even have time to clean up that disaster I just left there. I turn around, and the ovens are really dark. I was using a flashlight on my phone just so I could see in it, right? So I turn around, I'm trying to fix the toppings there, and I'm looking, and there's eight judges watching. This is a live competition, not blind, right? And so I just said, you know, guys, I just told the judges, I said, you know what I love about competitions? There's always something going to happen they don't think is going to happen. I mean, have you ever seen that happen? Like I can't believe that just happened. But you get these challenges, and then you get to overcome them, right? Yeah, it's this thing. It's like I would never be in a situation where I had to deal with this. Like, and it's like pretty intense. But I said, I folded it up like a burrito and I threw it in the trash. And I was like, you know what though? I'm gonna make another one right now. I'm gonna make you guys the best pizza that I can. I'm gonna do a pizza that I do for you guys every day, and I'm just gonna give you the best I got, man.
See, in a non-blind competition, I totally believe that kind of like dialogue with the judges is so key, because I think Will's a huge fan of like human psychology when it comes to purchasing, when it comes to eating. I think the same psychology plays a huge factor when it comes to judging competitions. Personally, I always try to tell people, like, do your best presentation, because they're going to eat with their eyes first. They're going to also eat with their ears first.
Interesting.
I'm not saying your pizza wasn't amazing, but I'm sure, like, they felt, like, the stress level of seeing those ingredients burn up, and then, like, the relief of you being like, you know what? I'm going to bounce back, and I'm going to make something amazing. Right? Positive feeling.
Well, I had to just, like, I wasn't going to ignore it. It would have been weird for me to not even address the fact that had just happened. You know, I'm like, that literally just happened. And I was like, and that's never happened before. So I then, the second one, I put on the GI metal peel, and that one slid off in there like,
nice.
No problem, right? So it was such an, and it's like, it's things like that. Like what I took away from that was how amazing overcoming that experience was, right? Like that was such an amazing and stressful thing to have happen. But it's like, that's like one of the most amazing things from that, right?
Before we continue on with the episode, I want to give a special shout out to Cordo Olive Oil. Truly, 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 the difference between commodity olive oil and quality olive oil is night and day. And that's why the best pizza makers like John Arena, Chris Secker, and Laura Meyer use Cordo Olive Oil at their restaurant. DM me at What's Good Dough or email me idriff@whatsgooddough.com. And I will set you up with a free tasting if you are an operator. And I'm talking about brick and mortar, caterer, pop-up, anything like that. I'll connect you and get you a free tasting. Thank you for supporting my show sponsors.
Like, there's so many, even the path to getting here was not, like, I got here not because it was what I had intended to do years ago. It was just like doing the next thing I need to do and just trying to do the best that I can at whatever that thing is, right? So for me, it was to survive and open up a cocktail bar, I had to do a restaurant. And so I ended up going to pizza for the restaurant and then decided now I have to, like, I want to bring everything that I can into being the best at this that I can be. And so I need to get somebody that can train me to do that, right? And that's how I ended up getting connected with Will. So that journey where, and then Will pushing me to compete, you know, because of what the kind of pizzas he saw me doing, and then winning, you know, and so it's just been this really unique experience where I hadn't planned any of that stuff, you know, and there's so many things that, like I competed at the sandwich competition at the International Pizza Expo, Italian sandwiches. I've never done an Italian sandwich before, but I wanted to be able to do one for brunch here, like when I do with specials and stuff. And Will told me, he's like, you should do it. So it was the day of the competition. The competition's already going. I had a total disaster. I wanted to make sourdough focaccia and a proofer. It wasn't working fast enough. And I didn't know what to do. So I was like, all right, well, I'll just do the Detroit pizzas, and I'll just cut them in half and make that my sandwich bread. So I cooked two Detroits. I have to run over because the competition's going, right? And I cooked two pizzas. I took them out, and I burned the bottoms of the pizzas. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this, man. And my friend Nora from Moto Pizza was there, and she's like, well, the tops aren't burned. And I was like, oh, the tops aren't burned. So I cut that and just used the tops to make my pizza. And so then the day after the competition, because the competition went from the morning into the afternoon, you know, and the next day, Will said, he's like, dude, good job with the competition, with the sandwiches. And I was like, I don't understand. What are you talking about? And he said, dude, you took fourth place. And I was like, what? You're kidding me. And he's like, no, you took fourth place. He's like, you might have beat me if you toasted your bread. And I was like, oh, now you tell me? You got third place? Good job. So it's just been a really wild and fun ride. But like things like that, like there's so many things where stressful situations, I learn things, I push through it. And it's like one of the things that I love, I was thinking about this week, is like everything that I do, I'm already excited about the next thing that I'm going to do. It's like when you schedule a vacation, you're looking forward to that vacation. I'm like, I can't wait to go to Vegas. And I'm like, I can't wait to go to Italy, right? And they go to Italy. I'm like, I can't wait to go to Italy again, you know? So there are all these things that I get to be continually excited about. And it's just pretty cool to be able to do that and see that, like, that's what I do for work, you know? Like, I barely graduated high school. I struggled with dyslexia and attention deficit disorder. It was very, very hard for me. I thought I was very unintelligent when I was a kid. I just didn't know that I learned differently. I didn't learn how to read until I was 10 years old. And I was studying fashion design at Parsons in New York City. And my second year in, I dropped out of college and just started working at restaurants, and that was it. And so I didn't see myself as someone that would have like a good understanding of business or the ability to do anything like this. And it was just by continuing to just go a little further, get a little better, you know, and learn and learn and learn, I got to where I was confident, like with mixology and then bartending and then wine and then spirits and, you know, and all that. And so this progression where I see myself now is like, it's really amazing to me that I, you know, that I'm a business owner that has 20 employees, which isn't a lot, but it's 20 employees, you know, I'm like,
it's not a little,
you know, no, I mean, the biggest accomplishment that I've had here, I think, with these guys is that, with a restaurant this small, is being able to offer them medical insurance, being able to offer them dental insurance, and then we're adding vision in January. So medical, dental, vision, and I pay for their life insurance also.
And that's why I asked you if you wanted to go into media, because the adversity that you're pushing through makes for great stories. And the good thing is, like, your stories have happy endings at the end. So be able to share those, I think you'd kill on social media. So, like, you should definitely do it.
Yeah, I just don't. I have to figure out how, like, I have to just figure out the there's all this stuff I need to be able to structure it. You know what I mean?
Write down your stories.
Yeah.
Write them down and then, like, tell it to people. Write down your stories, tell it to people, and then, like, pay attention to where they get bored or, like, check off or, like, check their phone or whatever, and then tighten it.
And then tell it to the next person.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting. That sounds like an effective way to...
it's a good way to just... And also you get to practice telling your stories too, right? Because you can only practice so much in your head. You can only write it so well, but it's also partly the delivery as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, just something to consider.
It's been an interesting ride, and I think there's so many things that I've been through that I think would be of value to share with other people.
100%. 110%.
So especially people that are in a situation where they don't think they're going to be able to do that or make it, or that if they didn't know the answer, they couldn't just do it anyway. You know, like, I've overcome so many things that just on my path doing this that I didn't know that I would be able to do or not know how to do and do anyway. And you know, a lot of it is just like, if I don't know, I need to go from, there's, first of all, I need to know what I don't know, right? Because you have to have some understanding to even know what you don't know to get that knowledge, right? and then I need to learn it. And then if it's something that I'm not going to be able to do, I need to find someone that is an expert at it.
Let me ask you this. I try to always ask this of pizza makers, but what is the biggest mistake you've made in either pizza, business, or life?
I think that the answer to that question is not taking action, right? And what I mean by that is, like, even if I'm going to fail at something, to just do it. There have been so many times in my life where I haven't done something because I got so paralyzed by feeling like I had to know what the answer was going to be or how it would work out, that I just missed the opportunity completely, right? And I don't do it. Whereas if I just took that action, even if it didn't work out, I'm still going to keep going forward, right? And so that fear of failure or fear of, like, not getting it right or looking stupid or whatever has at times, and still does at times, prevent me from doing things, right? And the truth is that if, no matter what happens, I will keep going and I'll get better and I'll learn from that. But and I think a lot of that has to do with ego sometimes. Like, you know, you don't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing, or I don't want to look like I made a bad choice. But I think the willingness to fail is also one of my strongest assets, right? It's like willing to look stupid, willing to, like, fail, willing to have not do it right, you know, and then pick myself up and learn from that, you know.
I heard this great quote recently from this guy named Alex Hormozi, and he said, most of us are okay with failing in private, but when we fail publicly is what we avoid, because we don't want that scrutiny, that look, that judgment, all of that. We'll fail a million times if we just did it in the comfort of our own environment and nobody else saw.
I like that. I like that. No, that makes perfect sense, man.
Well, there you have it. My conversation with Niles Peacock. To be honest with you, I didn't know we were going to start recording like that. Thought we were going to check in, just have a casual conversation. And then next thing you know, the opportunity was present and we both seized it. So Niles, thank you so, so much for joining me on the show. You taught me so much. And I'm excited to see where you go on this journey and looking forward to learning more from you. To you, the listener, do me this one quick favor and let Niles know what's good dough. Links to all of his information will be in the show notes, as always, as well as the links to the sponsors and a link to sign up for the email list to get notified of any updates, including when a new show goes out. I appreciate you so, so much for tuning in. I'll try to get some music back on the podcast later. I'm just trying to figure out some stuff right now. Other than that, I love you. Till next time. Peace.